Hello, and welcome to Soul Up. I'm Kayleen Welsh, your host for this podcast, which is designed to help us remember that we are complex and complicated beings living in a magnificent universe of which we are a vital part. We are active and dynamic co-creators of this system all the time, whether we are aware of it or not. Even if we don't completely understand how it works. So let's understand what we can and let's be as conscious as we can. Thanks for taking the time to listen. I imagine that most of us in the Northern Hemisphere are feeling this annual shift as we move past Labor Day and move forward into fall. School's begun and we feel the need to get back into some sense of a daily routine. This is Virgo season. Leo season. Fun and leisure, that's over, and it's time to get back to work. That summer playtime is over, and it's time to buckle down. We've been slacking, that's kind of what it feels like, and it's time to tighten up, to get disciplined. Disciple, that's Virgo. The servant, the martyr, the helper. It's really interesting as we recognize the subtle archetypal patterns in the seasons, or the seasons and the archetypal patterns. It's kind of like which came first, right? It's an intense time that we're living in. It's been this way for years now, and, you know, we've been talking about it for a while. It in itself has become old news. There's so much energy, so much happening. So much amplification, such a rapid pace. Everything seems to be happening so fast, you know, this lightning speed and crazier headlines every day, you know, more extremes, and, you know, these highs and lows and chilling lows. You know, I always wonder, you know, how low can it get? The stress and heaviness just seems like it just gets to be harder and harder to bear. And when I look around, I see people with these phones in their hand, you know, continually scrolling or glued to the TV, you know, just kind of wondering what's going to be happening next. Or so busy, they just don't have time. You know, people are exhausted. I struggle with these things myself. It's brought to mind the image of someone grasping onto an electric fence. You know, when you hold onto an electric fence, it's just like you're like stuck there. You can't move. You get clearly locked into this involuntary tension place that keeps us stuck, you know, rigidly stuck in this very thing that causes us this just stress. That's what it feels like we're all being electrified. Our nervous systems maxed out from a system in overload that has reached some kind of a point of overload, of combustion. I think in some ways it tells us, like, you know, we're reaching this place of overload, up-leveling, of course adjustment. And for me, that says I'm just so grateful that so many people have been doing so much work. You know, I see this in my therapy practice. People have been processing emotions. So many people have been doing a lot of really good work. They're overcoming generational trauma patterns. A lot of people are showing up specifically to do that. They're healing old wounds around racism, around separation, around old hurt places, around wounds that have been carried on for a very long time. And at least enough people have been consciously doing the work that I really believe we're reaching a crossroads. I'd like to believe that we are approaching what, like maximum velocity, like we're reaching this point of combustion, of the 100th monkey that puts us over the top. It's hard to believe, really, isn't it? You know, the hatred, cruelty, the sexualization, the corruption, the manipulation, that's, you know, the deceit that's placed before our eyes daily. It's almost unfathomable. I think for many of us, it was kind of long buried. You know, we've just been busy with our own lives. And I think, you know, I believe I was raised in a world where you just kind of like went along, trusted that things were what they were presented as. I really believe I was raised with eyes that didn't see. And seriously, that is no longer the case. I think the challenge now is to remain conscious, to not go numb. I think the challenge now is to remain heart-centered, to stay calm, really to remain in love with life, to take deep breaths and to remember that this is not how life on this beautiful planet is meant to be. Somehow, somewhere, you know, whatever this order of the universe that we call God is, there does seem to be a movement towards something greater. You know, life continually moves towards something greater. It matures. Life changes. Humanity evolves, grows up, continues, rises in consciousness. I believe in us. And somehow, it appears the planets do too. The universe does too. Whether something directs them, or maybe they respond to us. Maybe they mirror us as we evolve. I don't know what's going on. But thank goodness, every once in a while, something helps us get our hands off that electric fence. To let go, something has to cause a disruption, interrupt the pattern, you know, break up those stuck points. Is that cosmic forces? Is it free will? Planetary interactions? Is it the wind? I don't know. I love the breeze. I think somehow there is something about the breeze that helps me like kind of set back and take a deep breath myself. Is it the eclipses? You know, they've been long identified as cosmic reboots, course corrections. It's good that we use the moon cycle and the change of the seasons as markers to guide our alignment with the rhythm of the universe. We forget sometimes that we're part of a bigger story here. It's good to remember that we have a part in this story. That we get outside and that we look at the moon. We sit in nature. That we consciously, you know, form intentions about what we want out of our life or what we're doing here. That we do ceremonies and rituals to connect with this bigger story. That we remember that we are made of both earth, dirt, and stardust. At the same time, so important that we remember that those moments and markers merge and cycle into a continual, much larger process. We've all heard about the Age of Aquarius. It's been talked about, sung about, debated about. There's never seems to really be any consensus about when it actually began or will begin or where we're at with it. I think it's kind of funny because people get so caught up in details, which I think is pretty ironic, really, because I'm a double Virgo who's supposed to be all detail-oriented. I mean, I even have Mercury in Virgo. But maybe, because all of my Virgo stuff is in Pisces, you know, that loosens it all up, takes away all the boundaries around it. But the Age of Aquarius calls for harmony and understanding. It's the sign of the collective good, where diversity is celebrated, and we recognize that we are all in this together. I don't know, that just seems to be so far from where we are. Is the collective psyche of humanity standing at this threshold between two worlds? Is that where we are, this falling away of the old and, you know, opening to the new? Are we standing at this doorway between the old and the new? This summer, and for the next couple of years, The heavy hitters of the zodiac, the slow-moving transpersonal planets, are really lining up to support some kind of a different future. They seem like they're lining up to head us into some kind of an elevated consciousness. Neptune, the planet of spirit, the great unknown, launched a new 165-year cycle in January when it met up with Saturn at 0 degrees Aries. It brought us into a new up-leveled spiritualized identity that we will grow through on this next spiral of human development and begin another complete round of the zodiac. Aries is the place of emergence and rebirth. Neptune will continue to help humanity find its feet and settle into this new sense of self and higher consciousness for the next 12 years. Remaining in Aries until 2038. Bit of time yet. Another of the transpersonal planets, Pluto. That planet laid the groundwork for this shift to begin. This heavy transformational planet had started breaking down old systems, since 2008, moving from old traditional systems of Capricorn, finally settling into Aquarius in 2024. And we've been seeing breakdowns all across the board, medical, financial, religious, educational, judicial, political systems that were operating without a whole lot of question for decades. Pluto will remain in Aquarius until 2043. Uranus, which is the third and final of the transpersonal planets, moved into Gemini, the sign whose sole signature is universality. It touched there briefly in 2025, came back to stay in April of 2026, and won't move on until May of 2033. So, and Gemini, moving into Gemini, it really turned up the noise around communication and connection and revolution. Moving into a new future, doing something different. Uranus is known as the Great Awakener. So those three planets have been kind of doing their thing. And then we added to that the eclipse energy. Just kind of added a big old power jolt. So the first was the new moon solar eclipse on August 12th in Leo, which activated the South Node. The South Node is always a release point. It called to attention pieces of ego that needed to be drained away. You may have recognized then or been going through some things then that helped you see how much emotion, and emotion is energy in motion. So you may have seen something then, how much energy you were spending trying to maintain some sense of self that was built around some conditioned, outdated conditioned belief that was not really who you were. Something, that's what the ego does. It tries to kind of hold something in place that keeps us trapped in patterns out of fear or limitation. Some story that we've been telling ourselves about how we're supposed to be or what we should do or, what we're supposed to believe. That eclipse called for a piece of our old story to die away. Now, which is really they talk about ego death. That's kind of a scary place to be because we don't really know what's left then. Where does that leave us? It takes us into a place of the unknown. Whew. And that was followed by the full moon lunar eclipse 2 weeks later on August 27th in Pisces, 4 degrees Pisces. It just reminded us to let go, to trust Pisces, again, the sign of spirit saying, let go, trust the mystery, open up, loosen that grip. It's okay. Go ahead and let go. You don't have to worry. You don't have to hold on to this stuff all the time. Let go. Release the constriction and the worry. It directed us back to the mystery and asked us to remember that we're a part of something bigger. And we were reminded with that to turn to the North Node, our North Star, which at that point was newly in Aquarius, 29 degrees, considered a critical degree. Again, back to Aquarius, right? It'll be in Aquarius for the next 18 months or so. And to asking us to open up to something new, to release the past, to let go of the old, to make room for the new, to get out of the box and do something completely different, to let go of ego, to remember that it is ego or fear that keeps us separate. And that full moon lunar eclipse posed the question, what does humanity need to become? The fundamental principle of Aquarius can be described as interrelatedness or wholeness. Or if you really want to go sort of religious, although I don't like the word religious, spiritual, holiness, wholeness and holiness. We are multidimensional beings, multi-layered, complex and complicated beings. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whole, holiness. That is the fundamental principle of the Age of Aquarius. And we've seen a lot of this come forward in the past years in movements toward whole foods, holistic health care and wellness. We've seen it in the movement toward cooperatives, in the realization that so many of us feel disconnected in so many ways. From each other, from the earth, from ourselves, from each other, from life, from truth. I personally believe that disconnection is the root source of so much of our emotional health crisis. We feel separate and alone. One point of agreement is that Aquarius is an archetype connected with intellect. It's where our genius shows. It's where human potential is allowed to tap into universal wisdom. The superintelligence of Aquarius offers an opportunity for humans to use heightened reasoning to gain understanding of our newly emerging spiritual nature. Our reason for existence. I mean, really, what are we doing here? Our relationship with our fellow human beings and with the rest of creation. We have a synergistic part to play that impacts all of creation. We are not overlords. I was reading a book called The Astrology of Karma by Pauline Stone, and she explained very simply, here is the chance to gain intellectual understanding of how division can be overcome, how peace on earth can come into being. And I think we've been watching that play out in many ways as we watch the reaction of some of our, shall I say, positive public figures, how they are responding to some of what's going on in the world. And it feels so clearly evidenced in the world around us. I mean, we see the opposite demonstrated. We're seeing hatred, cruelty, racism, misogyny, corruption, division. I mean, it's modeled at every turn in our politics and our news feeds. And yet, if we watch closely, we also see the opposite. We see communities that seem to be choosing otherwise. We see neighbors stepping up to help neighbors. I got to say thank you, Canada. We see journalists that are stepping up to say, no, that's not true. That's not right. We see people taking a stand for justice and the common good. This may actually be the great turning that we've heard has been coming. And we are the living part of this. It is so important that we remain conscious. So now we've been zapped by this eclipse energy that will impact over the next many months. We have these three powerful transpersonal planets that are holding position for considerable periods of time, and they are working together. We talked earlier this summer about these three transpersonal planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto coming together in a formation called Barbold's Basket, after this French astrologist who first saw them coming together as a relaunch of civilization. They were also, this formation that they make was also referred to as a cosmic cradle, recognized as a massive reset button. Doesn't that sound marvelous? Marking the moment that this long chaotic cycle we've been in since 2020 would begin to resolve and a more constructive era would begin to take shape. Each of these planets is said to expand human consciousness beyond ego to a higher vibration. Uranus, recognized as the higher vibration of Mercury, is said to symbolize humankind's spiritual intellect, allowing understanding of the concept of oneness and the comparative insignificance of the ego. I mean, I don't want to villainize the ego because I think that's part of human development. We have to develop it to a point where it can, you know, like pay the bills and keep us alive on the planet and do all the thing we need to do to be kind of strong in self. But then it has to go higher. So now here we are at this crossroad, this opportunity to go higher. So Uranus is taking our intellect higher, allowing us to see this the importance of the concept of oneness. Allowing us to take it higher. The higher understanding that Uranus can bring provides access to universal truth that allows us to see beyond the limitations of human mind. Neptune is recognized as a higher vibration of Venus, allowing humanity to transcend the ego to experience a sense of oneness with the rest of creation. Neptune lifts us into the place of universal love, takes us beyond personal love. Pluto is seen as the higher vibration of Mars. It gives the potential for spiritualization of life force, which, when it's not hindered by the ego, gives vast potential for transformation. It's really the creative power, so it's the great healing power, which can change everything. Each and every one of us, and eventually change the world. All three of these planets are now in retrograde motion, and they will be for the next several months. It means then, therefore, that they're working on us from the inside. So all meaningful and lasting change comes from the inside out. That really means that they're working on us psychologically. They're directing us to our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our drives, our motivations, those deeper places that have us looking on the inside rather than outside, where we may be blaming other people or seeing ourselves as victims, that we have no power. When we look at the inside, we are able to take responsibility or see our part in things or to see where we have some agency that we're able to make change. So while these next several months, Uranus actually stationed retrograde with a new moon in Virgo on September 10th, and I'm not sure that I even said that Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius. So has a vital part to play in this whole age of Aquarius. It will be retrograde until February. Doesn't go direct until February. Neptune's been retrograde since July, turns direct in December. Pluto's been retrograde since May, turns direct in October. And so these next few months, again, may continue to feel somewhat unsettled. And I just encourage you to stay with it. Don't turn away. You know, don't deny it or try to numb it. It's really allowing things to get shaken up that need to be shaken up. It's allowing things that have been settled or kind of deeply rooted for a very long time to come up from the bottom, to be shaken loose, and to where they can be released. And that really is then the question that we need to ask ourselves or to sit with or to allow ourselves to be with for a while. But what needs to go? What needs to be released? What do we need to, you know, like, again, let get our hands off the electric fence? What do we need to let go of? What needs to be disrupted? What do we need to make room for? What do we need to let go of so something new can come in? And while Barbolt's basket, perfected in July for the first time, perfected means it came into exact formation with, and it will do that again in November. These planets are going to be within 5 degrees of each other for the next couple of years. It will be interesting to see what emerges for humanity over the next couple of years. And one other piece of current astrology that I want to call attention to is Venus conjunct the asteroid Pandora, which is opposed Chiron. Now, Venus and Pandora are within degrees of each other. Venus being the divine feminine, essentially, the representation of the divine feminine and the goddess. Pandora being representative of sort of the messes of mankind, the messes of the divine feminine. They're within degrees of each other in Scorpio, which really take us into the dark places. They traverse the depths of life's deepest, darkest places, right? Sex, death, manipulation, power and control. And they are directly opposite, in direct opposition to Chiron, our wounded places where we want to do healing and where once we are able to heal, you know, great, great changes can come because we're able to help others through it also. But Chiron is in Taurus, a place of around self-worth and value. It's a feminine sign ruled by Venus. So, and I don't know how many more news bites I can hear of women's voices and bodies being hurt, unheard, demeaned, silenced. I mean, really, how can you talk about rape in the military being a job duty? So again, while it looks terribly messy, which is a Pandora thing, Venus is taking us deeper into these wounds of worth, safety, security. None of this is being hidden anymore. It's all coming to the surface. I hope it continues to come to the surface. It needs to come to the surface. And underneath it all, again, a message of Pandora, hope remains for something different to emerge. Now, Venus will be moving back and forth between Scorpio and Libra, which is one of her signs, a place she rules, and with Chiron in Taurus, which is another sign that Venus rules. I don't see any of this going away anytime soon. And, you know, to quote words that I've heard, you know, from many different groups of women and marginalized groups, we can't go back. We won't go back. So I think this is something we need to keep in mind. It's something that I think we'll continue to see. And I don't know where this quote came from. I remember hearing it somewhere, but I think it's important to remember that sometimes the most beautiful things begin in chaos. So, in the meantime, shine on. And if you value what you are hearing, you know, please like and share. You know, tell people about this podcast, invite them to it, and, you know, it would really help me to reach more people. I would really appreciate that. And if you would like to get a better sense of how this astrology is interacting with your personal chart, you can always schedule a session or learn about any options for working with me. You can go to my website, www.kayleenwelsh.com. Or if you ever want to just like drop some feedback or send me a message or say hello, you can always reach out to me through my email, connect@kayleenwelsh.com. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
Oh my goodness gracious, beautiful oasis with that voice sweet as honey. Birdie in the air, nothing can compare. You're worth more than the whole world's money. Just to hear that sweet voice even brings the bees joy. Pour it on me warm, sweet honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah, you can make a gray sky sunny. Ooh. every sore spot, smoothing every coarse knot, leaning with my whole soul toward you. Every word you sing, simply let it ring out with that voice sweet as honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah, you can make a gray sky sunny. Sweet.